It is a joy to have all of you in the service today. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts chapter 22. And I'm going to read two different scriptures to begin our service today. The first is in Acts chapter 22. And then I'm going to ask you to find your place in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to look at a scripture there that I think will be a big blessing to you. But in Acts chapter 22, we read the story of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, as a matter of background, was a man who had a great animosity for these new people who had showed up on the scenes called Christians, those who were followers of Christ. And so he accepted the task of doing what he could to eradicate Christianity or persecute or drive people away from this man called Christ. And in Acts chapter 2, he gives his testimony about what he was experiencing, what he was going through. And so if you look there, we're going to look in at Acts chapter 22, verse 6. And Paul says, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus. And there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so we see Paul comes to a place, the most critical place in his life, where he has a confrontation with Christ. What would he do with this man called Christ? And so today, as we come to this service, and basically every service we ever attend, we are confronted with what will we do with Jesus? Because in the service today, I'm going to proclaim his words. I'm going to proclaim truth. And when that truth passes from my mouth out into this airspace and enters into your ears, all of a sudden, the responsibility for proclaiming it has left me, and the responsibility for you receiving it is now placed on your shoulders, and the choice becomes yours. Someone has said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, I'm not calling you horses, but I am saying that you come to water and you make a choice whether you will drink. And so Paul here we find, and if you look in the book of Hebrews, we're going to look there in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 6. And these are words that Paul wrote later on in his ministry. And he says this, But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Last week we looked at this idea of God being a rewarder. The Bible says, because of the resurrection, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But he's not a rewarder of everyone. Everyone doesn't get the reward. The Bible says, this is a conditional promise, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Every once in a while, I'll see a sign for the lotto, and or some form of the lottery, and it'll say, this lottery is worth $100 million. And I drive past that sign and think, will I win that? And then I think, well, I didn't buy a ticket. I've never bought a ticket. I don't win the lottery. I'll never win the lottery. I'll never get the $100 million. Why? Because I didn't buy a ticket. Why would we expect rewards from God that he says he has set aside for those who will diligently seek him? I looked up this word diligent, and I came up with some synonyms that are used to describe what diligent is. It means attentive, careful, earnest, persistent, tireless, steadfast, untiring, diligently seeking. I looked up the antonym, which would be the opposite of this word. And antonyms for diligent are careless, disinterested, ignorant, idle, inattentive, lazy, uncareful, indifferent. And it puts people in a class of what I would call casual Christians. We live in a day when there are people who like to claim the name of Christ, but they say, I want to be casual about it. When our church first started, the best illustration I've ever heard of this, in my experience, came when we were a new church, and my wife went to a place of business and was talking with a lady who had started visiting our church. And she said, Rhonda, she said, you know, I hear these people saying about if you walk with Christ, you grow deeper in him, and you go through challenges, you go through testing, and it's the testing and challenges that cause you to grow deeper in the Lord. And she said, I've decided if that's what it takes to get deeper, I've been praying, Lord, just keep me shallow. So she's saying, I just kind of like to be just like on the fringes of this Christian thing and be a casual Christian. I don't want something that's going to require a lot of commitment and testing and those things. Now, let me just tell you the sad part about that story is whether you're casual or whether you're committed, the testing is still going to come. The problem is, you won't have the strength and the endurance that comes with the testing and with the commitment to go through some of those trials. And many people have been bowled over or washed away or defeated because they were casual in their faith. I want to share with you in the life of the Apostle Paul's some things that he was diligent about and some instructions he received from God about his diligence. Look in Acts chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 14. Ananias said to him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. He said, you need to be diligent about doctrine. You say, well, what's doctrine? Doctrine, which is used a lot of times in Scripture, is just saying the teachings of God, the things that God wants us to know. I'm not talking about, quote, Baptist doctrine or Nazarene doctrine or Church of Christ doctrine or Old Order doctrine, Lutheran doctrine, Methodist doctrine. I'm not talking about any of that. I am talking about the doctrine that are the clear words from God's mouth. You may not line up totally with the Baptists. You may not line up totally with the Nazarenes. You may not totally line up with the Church of Christ. You may not totally line up in all these ways. But you better decide that you want to line up with the Word of God. The words from His mouth. And so he said to Paul, he said, God has chosen you that you would know His will and see that just one and should us hear the voice of His mouth. I want you to look at another scripture in Matthew. Just turn back toward the front of your Bible. And Matthew, just a few verses in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the Bible says that you should live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it is God's intention that He has given us words to live by. And so Ananias said to Paul, You will know God's will. And it should be your desire to say, God, what is your will for my life? You say, well, do you know God's will for my life? I really do. Say, really? Yeah, it is for you to follow every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's God's will for your life. And you know it by knowing His word and studying His word and being in church for the preaching of His word and finding truth from God's word. So he said you will know God's will. The second thing that comes from receiving doctrine is you will see Jesus. We see who Jesus is and what Jesus did and what our relationship with Jesus can be through the Word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I have been without my wife for a week, and she sent me a text and she said, Oh, I miss you, and I want you to get down here soon. And so I sent her a text back and I said, God said, It is not good for man to be alone. And that's what God said. So I'll be heading your way. But while she's gone, I have had a lot of attention from ladies looking after me. My sister called me and said, Could I take you to breakfast? And I said, Well, I'll think about that. I said, No, let's do that. And Madison said, Papa, at school I got 2 certificates for free ice cream to Witz Could I take you to Witz? Well, I'll have to think about that. Maybe I ought to call Chris Horton and get a high recommendation, because Chris has already given me a high recommendation about Witz. And so Madison took me and got me an ice cream cone. And Lindsay called and said, Dad, do you need some supper? I said, well, Lindsay, that sounds good. Man can't live by bread alone, but got to have a little bread. And so Lindsay fixed me some supper. But last night I told Madison, I said, hey, Madison, I said, how about I take you over to Taco Bell? Oh, Papa, that'd be wonderful. Now, my wife's never quite so excited about that, but Madison was. So Madison and I went into Taco Bell, and I said, what do you want, Madison? She said, I'll have one of those burritos. I said, well, I'm going to get me a couple tacos. And I said, would you like a little bit of dessert? And she said, no, doesn't matter, whatever, whatever. And I said, well, let's get two of those little things right there that says filled Cinnabons. Let's try a couple of those. So I finished my tacos, and Madison was still working on her little burrito. So I said, well, Madison, I'll go ahead and try this. She said, okay. And I took a bite of that, and I said, She said, is it good, Papa? Is it good? I said, you're just going to have to wait and find out. So I took, it's really only two bites to them, so, I mean, you don't. Don't get a whole lot of bites at the apple with those things. Just slightly larger than a quarter. And so I finished it up, and she finished her burrito, and she said, all right, here goes. And she took a bite of that, and she looked at me and said, oh, that's good. I said, well, I knew that, but I said, Madison, you had to taste and see for yourself. I said, you know what the Bible says about the Lord? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I can tell you he's good. We sat in prayer meeting and on Thursday night down at the Glenn's Ranch down there, and Tom and Julie gave their testimony, and Tom was telling about when he gave his heart to the Lord, and he said he had gotten overwhelmed with alcohol and had started to dominate his life, and it was breaking up his marriage. And Julie came to a point where she said, enough is enough. And Tom came to his senses, and he said he went to church, and the preacher preached a message, and his heart was convicted, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And Mark said, well, Dad, tell us what changed. He said, well, he said, one thing I tell you, he said, my heart became tender. And he said, I do this now. And he couldn't hardly get his words out. Why? Because he had found the Lord to be sweet and precious and wonderful in his life. And he'd found his in a new direction. But I could have told Tom that. And Julie told Tom that. And other preachers told Tom that. But he had to come to the place where he tasted and saw that the Lord was good. And Ananias told Paul, Saul at that time, he was called Saul before he was converted, and he said, you'll see Jesus. Then the third thing he says here, Paul says, is that you will hear the words from his mouth. Now, it's a wonderful thing when we seriously follow after the Lord and we want to hear what he says. I can read this Bible. In fact, I did read the Bible this morning, and some of you did not hear what it said. Maybe some of you were distracted. Maybe some of you said, that just doesn't do anything for me. I don't know what happened when I read the Word of God to you, but I will tell you this. Christ said He wants those words to sink deep into your heart, deep into your soul. He wants those words to be useful and meaningful. And Ananias said, I want that you should us hear the voice of His mouth. Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, you won't be able to understand some of these things with all the understanding that God wants you to have. Because you need to understand that the Bible is God's love letter written to His children. And so some of the things only take on meaning because they are written to you. Some of the things Rhonda has written me in the past may not mean anything if you read them, but it made my heart pump purple peanut butter because I knew what she was saying. We even have a code or two that we might write. We were in Bible college. It's such a strict school that you're supposed to only have passing greetings. And so if we wanted to express things, sometimes we had to figure out imaginative ways to let each other know about our interests. Well, God in His Word writes to His children. And the Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And some of the things about walking with God and living for God come when you know Christ as your Savior, because all of a sudden His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Oh, that's why we do that. People say, why in the world would you get up on Sunday? Sunday's a one day you ought to stay in bed. For the Christian, Sunday is the one day we gather to fellowship with His people and hear the Word of God and grow in the Lord and be strengthened and encouraged and nourished. And it's more than our Wheaties. You say, well, I get up on Sunday morning, and some of you say, well, I have Wheaties, and some say I have cream of wheat. And for some of those down in South America who don't know any better, they eat grits. And they're growing on me. I can eat some once in a while. Sometimes I don't have any choice. Some of you eat eggs. Some of you eat sausage. Some of you eat bacon. Phil eats celery. Phil eats better than most of us do. Probably has fruit for breakfast. It doesn't matter what you eat, that sustenance that you had for breakfast this morning won't satisfy the need you have for spiritual food. And a lot of people are struggling in their walk because they are spiritually starving because they are not hearing the Word. Now look in verse 15. He says, you need to be diligent about your doctrine. You need to be diligent. In verse 15, let's read that together. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. He said, Paul, you need to be diligent about your duty. God has something for you to do that is different than anybody else. And in our church, God has something different for every one of you than anybody else in our church can do. I'll just give you an example. When Elsie and Audrey came to church, and they were two little ladies that sat right where Donna's sitting, and they were both tiny, and Audrey was just really tiny, and they really could hardly, it's a tough task for them just to get to church. They never handed out any bulletins. They never ever cleaned the church. They never did anything out in the yard. I don't know of anything they ever did in church except these two things. They faithfully sat in their seat and they faithfully prayed for their preacher twice a day. Every Sunday when they left, they'd look at me and little Elsie would say, "Preacher, I pray for you twice a day." And along would come Audrey. And Audrey would look up at me. Pretty interesting when somebody looks up at me. It's all relative, though. You have to understand, it's all relative. I like to keep Alan down on the floor down there, and I'll stay up here. But see, if Shaq was here, Alan would say, "Shaq, you stay on the floor," because he'd be a midget compared to Shaq. It's all relative. But Audrey was such a tiny little lady, and she'd shake my hand, and she'd say, "Pastor Dan, yeah, Audrey, we pray for you twice a day." Thank you, Audrey. You say, well, does that really seem like much? As far as I know, that's all they could do. And that's all that Christ asks of any of us. When the lady had washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair, he said, "She hath done what she could." You say, what does God want out of me? He wants you to do what you can. And what you bring to this church by your presence, maybe by your amen, maybe by giving somebody a hug, has an impact on our church that nobody else can have. When our church was young, a policeman showed up, and back at that time, we were meeting at the bingo hall, and we didn't have a building of our own, and we had coffee and donuts in the back, and so policemen, they know how to get coffee and donuts. So Warren headed for the back, got coffee and donuts, came up, smiled, and talked to me and everything, And God knit his heart with our church. And Robin and Warren sat in our church and wept because they believed that they had found a church where God was going to minister to them. What I didn't understand the first time was that Warren and Robin had decided to go on a search to find a church that would minister to them because Warren had terminal cancer and he wanted some place that could help carry the load for his wife and be with her and love her and help her through the process of his death. And so at times they would weep because they knew that's why they were there and they felt like they had found home and they were so glad to be there. Warren had cancer and he lived beyond what they expected that he would. And Warren played a very special part in our church. He never taught a class. I'm not sure that I ever heard Warren give a testimony. He wasn't active in doing things. I'm sure he would show up if we had a work day and we were just like cleaning up on the outside or anything. Don't know that he ever did any building. But I will tell you, the mark that Warren left on our church is he went around and loved everybody. He smiled and was a greeter, so glad to have you here. And he made our church warmer than it already was because of his presence. And so we all have a duty. My duty is to be a preacher. and to preach the Word of God. And Paul said, when it comes to preaching, he said, necessity is laid on me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And as we're in this time of transition, some say, well, I guess you're getting close to retiring. I'm not retiring. I may be retreading. And my role is going to change in the church. And come January, the Lord willing, is John will be senior pastor, and I'll be a helper, an associate, and help through the process for whatever the need is for what period of time. But everything will change. But as long as God gives me breath, and as long as I have ability by God's grace, I'm going to be preaching the gospel, because that's what I am. I'm a preacher. I'm going to be ministering to people. I told you, Leanna took me to breakfast, and I said, well, Leanna, I said, let's just go to McDonald's. And she said, well, is that where you really want to go? I said, yeah, let's go to McDonald's. So we sat in McDonald's, and Leanna was on one side of the table, and I was on the other side of the table, and she said, did you see that lady right there? I said, no. She said, she was crying. I said, really? And I said, where'd she go? She said, she went back that way. And she said, do you think I ought to go back and ask her what's wrong? And I said, yeah, go back. And so she went back and talked to her for a little bit. And pretty soon, here they came back and sat down across from me. And Leanna said, this is my brother. He's a minister, and he probably has some things to say to you, and he could probably encourage you. And it was my privilege to sit there and try to minister to a lady who was homeless, who had just lost her mother and kicked out by her brother and all this stuff. And I didn't have to sort all that out and figure it all out. I simply had to say, how can I be a blessing to you right now where you are, and hopefully help you to get on a path, change the direction of your life? And so Leanna got her phone number or gave her phone number. The lady doesn't have a phone, and said, call me, we'll work it out, I'll pick you up, we'll bring you to church, we can be a help to you, be a blessing. And so anyway, that's ministry. Wherever you go, wherever you see people, there are lost, hungry, needy people who need the Lord. And we are ministers. Paul said to Timothy, preach the gospel. And the second thing he said, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there for sake of time, and you could read this if you want to in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was talking about Mark, and he said, bring Mark when you come, because he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, I want you to understand that there was a time when Mark and Paul went separate ways because there was a conflict. And Paul basically said, I don't need you. I don't need this. I can't use you. But now he's in a different place, a different circumstance, and he said, bring Mark. He is profitable to me in the ministry. Let me just say that we ought to say, by God's grace, let me be profitable, meaningful, useful to God's work wherever I am. He was profitable, and Paul told Timothy, you need to persevere. He said, I have fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. The last thing I want you to see in this story from Acts chapter 22, if you'll look in verse 16, he says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He said, in the last place, you need to be diligent about your devotion. Notice he said, calling on the name of the Lord. If you are a casual Christian, There will come a time when you will go through some things where you will need help. And it's my prayer that you'll turn to God for help. Call on the name of the Lord. Got a whole church full of people whose lives have been changed and blessed and lifted and enriched and encouraged because they called on the name of the Lord. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, I'm not asking, for sake of time, I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But in James, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent. Well, what's effectual? Effectual is a powerful prayer, a prayer that's meaningful and useful and effective prayer. You say, well, what's an ineffective prayer? Well, the Bible says there are some different things. Vain repetition. Just saying something over and over again. You can say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, so? I mean, what'd that do? Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, that might be a good prayer for a four-year-old or a five-year-old or a six-year-old. But effectual prayer is powerful prayer where we are communicating to get a hold of God about our needs or our circumstance. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's effectual, it's fervent. What's fervent? Well, in the context of the Bible, it is to be hot or to be boiling. The Bible says that Elias prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It's earnest prayer, fervent prayer. I think sometimes we pray casually. And the Bible says there's time to get serious about our prayer to God. And I've had some of those times. I remember when my kids were tiny and their fever's going up and you're doing everything. You're trying ice and you're trying the little aspirin or whatever the doctor gives you. And you can't get the fever down. You say, oh God, look at my baby. Help me here. Wasn't anything casual about it. And then the last thing, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. You say, what does that mean? It means a man whose heart is right with God. If you're here today and you are doing things that you know displease God, it hinders your prayers. The Bible talks about that your prayers be not hindered. You can have your prayers hindered. I want you to look in at one last verse in Matthew chapter 5. And it talks about people bringing a gift down to the altar. And so you're wanting to do something for God and demonstrate your love for God, so you bring a gift to the altar. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So you come down, you're bringing a gift, you're going to pray to God, oh God, and you know that you got something that's not right, that needs to be reconciled. The Bible says, leave the gift, leave it there. Go take care of the conflict. You say, well, you know, I tell you what, people do things that are hard for me to forgive. Tell you a very scriptural sound principle. You can't control what people do to you, but you can control your response. And the Bible says, now this is about enemies, and I'm sure none of us here have any enemies, but do good to them who despitefully use you. Love your enemies. You say, it's not my enemies I have a problem with, it's my friends. The Bible says, leave your gift at the altar and do your part. You say, what if they don't do theirs? Can't control that. You have to give that to God. God, here they are. I tried to fix them. I tried to turn them. I tried to flip them upside down. I tried to burn them. Do what you can do. And God says our prayers become effective. The fervent, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It makes a difference. It's powerful. This morning, I'd like for us all to stand together. This is a special service today. Because we have never had this congregation in this building. There are people here today that I've never seen before. There are some visitors. There are some of our people who are gone. There are some that just came back. And so this compilation, this collection of people has never been in this building before. And so God's word has gone out in a unique circumstance. And so the question is, what will you do with God's word? What will you do about walking with God today? I'd like for all of our heads to be bowed and every eye to be closed. And I wonder if there are Christians who would say, you know, preacher, in the context of this message, the Holy Spirit took some truth and drove it deeply into my heart. And God spoke to my heart today, and there's some things I need to take care of. And I'd like for you to pray for me and pray with me. If you're here like that, would you just slip your hand up and say, yeah, preacher, God spoke to my heart. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. All over the church. I have a second question. You may be here today and say, preacher, during the message, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know Christ as my Savior. If I die tonight, I don't know that I would go to heaven. I don't know that my heart's right with God. In fact, I'm quite certain that it isn't. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart about my need for salvation. And I'd like for you to pray for me and pray with me. If you're here like that, would you just quickly just lift your hand and say, God's spoken to my heart today about my need for salvation. Would you pray for me? It's anywhere in church. Just mind the Lord. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Now I pray that you will take this truth and apply it to our lives, that we will forever be changed. Your word washes us. Your word feeds us. Your word leads us. Your word demonstrates your love for us. So I pray today, Lord, that you will use this service for your glory. And for all that you do, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have already had an invitation today. Someone came and knelt at the altar without me asking. And I tell you what, it's a beautiful thing to me when the Holy Spirit speaks to somebody's heart And you don't have to ask them. They just come. And there were some that gathered at the altar for prayer earlier. But if you have a special need today and you need to come, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. And you mind the Lord as Lindsay sings.
Surrender all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Let's have a closing prayer for Marty's son. Yeah. Let's join our hearts together. Father, we pray for Marty's boy today. You know all about cancer and the difficulties of this dreaded disease. And I pray that you will work in a mighty way in his life. And give him strength and comfort and touch his body. Be with Marty as she leans on you. Give her unusual strength and hope in the great physician during this time. Pray, Lord, that you will encourage her heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In closing today, I'm going to ask if the Kleins would come up here just a second. Klein crew. Y'all just turn around and face the crowd. Han Lee just got back from being over on the mission field. And I thought, just kind of a beautiful picture. And it doesn't always happen this way, but here's Han Lee over trying to help some boys and girls, I think in South America. And she comes back, and God's working on her boy in the service today. And this young man is up here praying that God will use him at camp to be a blessing. And so we trust that God will use the Kleins. And in closing today, Ryan, would you and your crew go back and greet at the door and shake hands and with our visitors and people who want to slip by, and might want to shake this boy's hand and encourage him. And Liz, I'm sure, can use a little encouragement once in a while. But the Lord bless you. Look around, if you will. If you see a visitor, shake their hands. Thank them for coming. So good to have all of you in the service today. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.